Then, for a long time, there was silence. When he could bear it no longer, Eddie asked the old caretaker how much of the tale he believed.
"All of it," John said without hesitation. "You got to take care of that rose in New York, don't you?"
"Yes," Roland said.
"Because that's what's kept one of those beams safe while most of the others has been broken down by these, what do you call them, telepathics, the breakers."
Eddie was amazed at how quickly and easily Cullum had grasped that. But perhaps there was no reason to be. Fresh eyes see clear, Susanna liked to say. And Cullum was very much what the Greys of Ludd would have called a trig cove.
"Yes," Roland said, "you say true."
"The Rose has taken care of one beam. Stephen King's in charge of the other one. At least that's what you think."
Eddie said, "He'd bear watching, John. All else aside, he's got some lousy habits, but once we leave this world's 1977, we can never come back and check on him."
"King doesn't exist in any of these other worlds?" John asked.
"Almost surely not," Roland said. "Even if he does," Eddie put in, "what he does in them doesn't matter. This is the key world, this and the one Roland came from. This world and that one are twins." He looked at Roland for confirmation. Roland nodded and lit the last of the cigarettes John had given him earlier.
"I might be able to keep an eye on Stephen King," John said. "He don't need to know I'm doing it either. That is, if I get back from doing your cussed business in New York. I got me a pretty good idea what it is, but maybe you'd better spell it out."
From his back pocket he took a battered notepad with the words "Mead Memo" written on the green cover. He paged most of the way through it, found a blank sheet, produced a pencil from his breast pocket, licked the tip, Eddie restrained a shudder, and then looked at them as expectantly as any freshman on the first day of high school.